This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger, and the topic of today's show, the hidden meaning behind vertigo, is a topic that I really do receive, surprisingly enough, a lot of requests to do a show on vertigo. And this particular suggestion came from a listener from New Hampshire. She emailed me explaining that she has a very specific form of vertigo. It's called vestibular ocular reflux, and that it's very scary when she's driving. And what she really wanted to know was some of the emotional kind of hidden meanings behind what would cause this imbalance that she experiences physically to be happening on an emotional level. And then she also wanted to know if there were any alternative therapies that could help her be able to regain that sense of balance, not only in her sight and her hearing, because they're all tied together, and just be able to find the balance in the life that she was looking for. So I want to thank you for that show suggestion. And if any of you have a show suggestion, they kind of come in groups and then they trickle down a little bit. Please go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and submit your suggestion. And please know that they all are actually in a pile, and they all have already been prioritized by the way sequence in which they come in. So if you don't get it, your topic addressed right away, please don't give up. At least send it to me, because I can either feature it on the show, or if I get enough requests in the suggestions, that's how I really put together a lot of my Your Health teleclasses that I do on a monthly basis. So your input is very, very valuable to me. And so if you'd go on and send me a suggestion, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm also going to be taking your calls today, as I always do on my show, and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you have a question about the topic of today's show, you have a question about what's going on with this darn crazy energy that we're riding right now, then give me a call at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. Callers, Canadian callers, and then also international callers. Of course, you just have to dial your international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. I'd like to invite you to join me for the launch of a brand new opportunity that I'm going to be presenting starting in 2012, and that's what I call a telegathering. My first telegathering is on January 31st. The topic is going to be the ABCs of surefire and lasting weight loss. These are 90-minute telegatherings. They are educational in format from the standpoint that I really try to look at topics. Again, topics that have been suggested by my listeners and people through my database and so forth, but topics that are really of interest to you. And unlike my shows that are really topic-driven and around illness, or and that's the primary way, or in my teleclasses, we can talk about anything. And again, this one is going to be on weight loss. Joining me for this 90-minute event is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. I've actually had her as a guest on my show several times. Very, very knowledgeable lady. She's a world-renowned natural living expert. She's the author of over 2,000 magazine articles and 27 books on health. She was actually a professor at UCLA for a while. And her real focus is how to use healing foods to lose weight and then put vitality back in your life. Then what I'm going to be doing in the teleclass is that it's a joint contribution for both of us. I'm going to be really talking more about the connection from a psychological standpoint of why we tend to put weight on and why that weight tends to hold on. And one of the things that I found is that weight gain usually is symbolic of being in protection, and that protection usually has to do around protecting ourselves and our self-esteem, or trying to figure out how to bring our self-esteem back to the level that we can really feel good about ourselves and feel good about our body. Now, as a bonus to the attending the telegathering, Dr. Susan, as I call her, is going to be offering her free ebook, Living on the Lighter Side, Dr. Susan's Premier Secrets to Accelerated Fat Loss. And then I'm going to also be offering a free PDF on overweight and health, understanding the effects of beliefs and emotions. Now, by participating in the telegathering itself, these downloads are free. And again, only available at this point in time for the people that are going to be joining us. The cost to attend is very, very nominal. It's $11.95. And if you want more information or to register, please go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the telegathering in the What's New section. And then what that means is that you can learn more about your body and learn more about what you can do to get rid of this weight that maybe has taken up a little bit of residency in certain parts of your body, and then be able to do it in the comfort of your home or office. When we really look at vertigo and associate it with the five physical senses, as humans, we really rely on those physical senses to interact with our outer world in an effective way. So anything that impacts any of these senses immediately puts our body, puts our mind into a state of fear and puts the body into that fight or flight. And our ability to accurately perceive what's happening in our environment becomes distorted. Or in the case of a chronic situation that you're working with maybe your sight, your hearing, or your smell, what it does is it really can create this place where you actually lose your opportunity to use these physical senses in the way of interacting with your environment. And one of the primary things that I've found is, of course, vertigo. But the other thing is the loss of taste. This is something that I've really had requests for also, that seems to be something that we're experiencing more and more. Vertigo is basically an assault on the senses, all senses, because it creates an illusionary perception of motion, which expresses itself, of course, in dizziness and spinning sensations. It's either the sensation of motion when there is no motion, or it's an exaggerated sense of motion that responds in a way that causes the body to really go into that seasickness syndrome, to the point where not only now are you dizzy, but then what you're doing is you're actually experiencing it in the stomach area. And part of the reason for that is vertigo really has a lot to do with that imbalance in that inner ear aspect of it as we think about it. But it really is much more than that, because it not only impacts the hearing part or that inner sense of balance associated with hearing, but it also affects your sight. And that can cause the sight to become blurry, the inability to focus. And then also it can heighten the sense of taste to the point where you could eat something one moment and the next moment you're not able to stand the taste of it at all. So despite the popular misconceptions that vertigo really isn't a disease, but rather a symptom of a vestibular disorder in that inner ear, what really is happening is it really is a disease from the standpoint dis-ease, creating imbalance through all of the physical senses, sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. While vertigo affects people of all ages, there actually is a higher predisposition for people over 50 to have the potential for vertigo, and this continues to increase in people over 65. There's actually different kinds of vertigo, but the most common is called benign positioning vertigo. It is relatively harmless. It tends to last for only a short period of time. Sometimes it can be 10 minutes, 30 minutes. On the real extreme side, it could be a couple of days. But usually what that is this form of vertigo is caused in the way that we sleep, the way that we get out of bed, looking up for long periods of time while standing, rolling over or bending over, when we get up too quickly. And what we do is our body just doesn't have the opportunity to reset itself and restabilize itself, and we find ourselves feeling dizzy. Other forms of vertigo include Meniere's disease, vestibular neuronitis, and then also the vestibular ocular reflux. And what that is, for my listener, as she knows, but all of you, that it's where the eye fluids back up rather than draining the way that they're designed, and they build pressure up in the eye, and then also that pressure then is also built up in the inner ear. Some of the contributors of vertigo really include bacterial infection. The herpes zoster virus is one of the primary viruses that actually impact the ability of us to retain maintain our balance. I'm actually doing a teleclass that's happening at the end of January that I'm going to be doing on herpes virus. And one of the things when viruses actually get into the brain and can cause a lot of havoc in the brain cells themselves, it actually comes in the form of a herpes zoster, but it comes in the form of nasal infections. So if you tend to be predisposed to nasal infection sinusitis, or sinus drainage on a chronic basis, this doesn't mean that you're going to have a virus that gets into your brain, but it could be a significant contributor to why maybe your hearing isn't as keen as it used to be, and then also why you're finding that you get those dizzy spells. It's also caused by position of the head, body motion, head trauma, blood pressure, imbalance, also food and chemical allergies, chronic stress, hypoglycemia, and then also an inner ear wax buildup. And then one of the things that we've known for a while, but it's now being supported scientifically, is that it's actually the buildup. It's actually a vitamin B deficiency. As a medical intuitive, when I look at vertigo and looking at what is creating the imbalance, I actually find it as an imbalance between that third and sixth chakra. The third chakra is the chakra of our personal power, and it helps us manage our daily lives. And it tends to favor thinking and behavior and decision-making that's more tried and true. Now, that sixth chakra is considered to be the seat of our intuition. It's tied to those prefrontal lobes of the brain that tend to rely on those five physical senses, almost in a hypersensitive way. And when the sixth chakra, what it does is it allows us to see beyond the obvious, meaning looking for a lot of those nonverbal, obvious clues and cues as to what is happening in our world, and it's responsible for expanding our perception of things and situation. And what it really does is it just is an integral part of the decision making. It just lets us know that there's a different way to be able to look at our outer world to make our decisions. Now, when there's tension between these two chakras, it creates a sense of really us being separated from ourselves. So we find that the demands of the world and people's needs kind of take control over us and our stress ability, the way we manage stress or experience stress, and then also it takes over the way that we live our life. This causes us to lose focus, which is one of the things with the dizziness, which undermines our ability to make things happen, which again throws us off balance, and then we become at odds with ourselves, and we experience these strong feelings like we have no control of our life. We're spinning around in circles trying to basically find what we're looking for, and we're more focused on finding the balance than stepping out of whatever is creating this stressful situation to be able to look at it different. When we get stuck in repeating these old patterns of behavior, we find ourselves mentally stuck, and again, we get off balance. The activities of the sixth chakra, what it does is it tries to restore balance by shifting our perception, meaning in the physical senses, helping us see things different and hear things different. When it does this, it changes our thinking. And what the sixth chakra does is encourages us to step away from what we need to do that would allow us to restore the balance in our lives. Sometimes we just need to get out of that energetic space that we're in, that mental space that we're in, and then find ourselves seeing everything through different lenses. Again, dizziness has to do with the lack of focus on the eyes. When I really look at the hidden psychological meanings behind vertigo, these are things that I find that are consistent. People feel like their life is spinning out of control. They're out of balance, meaning that it's all work and no play, or maybe there's too much scarcity and not enough abundance. The thoughts become scattered, making it difficult to focus on finishing anything or even starting anything. And then there's that metaphor that I find around vertigo is that the person is flying in too many directions. They feel overwhelmed, and they're unable to figure out what to do next. This seems to be something that, whether it's vertigo or not, I'm finding a lot with this crazy energy that we're experiencing that basically is pushing, nudging, kicking us in the bottom to basically move forward. Don't stay stuck. It isn't necessarily that we have to really be clear on what it's going to be like for the rest of our life, but just don't stay in a place where you're mentally stuck. That throws us off balance. And then also, when I find vertigo in some people's case, is that they really are kind of like that hamster in the hamster wheel. The demands of life is basically creating a lifestyle, a sense of pace of life that really has them off balance. They're not having enough time to do what's important. And so, again, the demands of the world are really keeping them to a place where they just don't feel like they have control. So those are some of the things as a medical intuitive I tend to find when it comes back to looking at vertigo. And I will continue to go into more depth, but I'd like to talk to Charles in Toronto right now. Hi, Charles.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you?
Well, Carol, I'm a yellow, I think. I did your test. I came read one by 1 point each time, but when I read the both books, I'm sure I'm a yellow.
Yes, you are. How's that for validation?
What I'm trying to do is listen to my body. I've got some fairly significant health concerns, actually very.
Right.
I've changed my lifestyle completely in the last year.
Okay.
I'm going in for some tests tomorrow, and I'm just curious if you think my changes in lifestyle have helped me move things in the right direction.
So you and I have, I believe, haven't we talked before? You feel really familiar to me. Okay, perfect.
About 3 months ago.
Okay, perfect. I was going to say, besides being a fellow yellow, which we have that inherent, you know, in connection and so forth, it felt like we had actually, I have actually known you and experienced your body and everything. And at that point in time, I think we talked about continuing these lifestyle changes. And then are you going back in for kind of a pulse check to see where you are as far as the changes of what we are working with?
Yeah, absolutely. This is sort of the first marker to see if anything's, if anything's changed.
Good. Yes, it has changed. And let me tell you what has changed. What has changed is that the lifestyle change, primarily the what you're eating and how you're eating, meaning when you're eating, is significant in being able to take a lot of the pressure off of your digestive system. One of the greatest challenges for yellows is the fact that we just forget we have a body. We get so caught up in our head that we forget that we need to feed it, or when we do feed it, we need to feed it what is really healthy for it. So from the standpoint of the lifestyle changes, specifically around the dietary changes that you've made, it feels to me that you've removed a lot of the fat from your diet. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'm like almost 100% vegetarian right now.
And that's really helping the upper digestive system from the standpoint that you're not putting in a lot of bulk or a lot of fat, and you're really not even putting in more protein than your body can use. You feel like you were pretty heavy on protein for a while. And what it did is that in this balance, it's causing your digestive system to rethink how it works with food. And I can find that there's a lot more effectiveness in the food. You're getting a lot more benefit from what you're eating. But also what you have probably noticed is that the waste that you're producing is a different, I always hate to do this on the air, but I have to do it anyway. You're going to notice that the smell of the waste is different. And the quantity of the waste is different. This is going to let you know that your body is actually utilizing what you're putting in your mouth and digesting to the point where your body's getting the benefit of it. So this is a positive step in the same direction.
Well, I hate to admit it on the air, but I check every day.
I know. You know, sometimes it just, what you need, especially with what you're dealing with, sweetie, you've got to do that. I mean, you know, maybe we need to do a show on that. I mean, let's have a little humor around it. But the reality of it is that that waste that we produce really tells us a lot about how our body is working with food. And one of the things, and I don't want to get gross for everybody, but one of the things is when we become heavy on protein or we're eating too much fat, that odor is going to be much stronger and it almost has a rancid smell to it. So again, the things that you're doing, that's all in the step the right direction. You're actually alkalizing your body more effectively as a result of this. And what that's doing is it feels like it's getting rid of some of the other residual toxin buildup that was happening in your body before. As far as the actual issue that you're dealing with in this particular case is that there is some change, but I do want to tell you that I'm not sure that your doctor is really on board. And supportive, but, you know, it's kind of like, well, okay, you can take a wait and see, but we're not going to do this very long. And that's how it feels to me.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I've got three or four of them right now, and there's huge pressure to go with surgery and as soon
exactly.
as possible. And it's funny because, you know, I expected to be going in for the test. I'm going in for tomorrow at the end of November. So it got canceled, and I thought, okay, that's the universe sort of helping me, you know, giving me some more time to get healthier. That's the way I tended to frame it.
Well, it really, it's the truth. And what you've done is really a very positive step in the way that your body is finally, for actually a long time, sweetie, finally utilizing what you're putting in your mouth. Whether it's, you know, kind of a quick fix or it's really a mindful process of what you're putting in your mouth, your body is actually getting the nutrients. The mitochondria of your cells, those energy burning parts of the cells, are fired up again. So the metabolism is changing. The thyroid has changed. The pancreas and the insulin has changed. So all of these are positive steps. Now, where I was is that one particular doctor seems to really be headstrong that this absolutely needs to happen. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, especially knowing your background, I'm going to ask you to go and listen and be open to what they say, but also to go in with a series of questions. Is there any improvement? What you're dealing with is still present. I just would be remiss if I said to you that it isn't. But what you're dealing with and the inflammation that's associated with it that seems that it was causing this sense of urgency, I'm not picking up as much. So
okay.
what I don't know, and the reason that I encourage questions is, I would, if me being in your body, I would say, okay, so I understand based on what you're saying that the situation is still there. Is it better? And force them to tell you, is it better? Is the
what I've done, actually, I've got them to, I'm going into a different, tomorrow I'm dealing with kidneys. Last time I talked to you, I was dealing with the colon. So they
right.
thought there was some transmission to the kidney. So they're actually going inside to have a look and see if there's any, you know, cancer in the kidney. And if there is, that's it. If there's not, there's a couple of kidney stones they're going to remove.
Good. The kidney stones are really, really important to have removed. So while you're doing that, just go ahead and do it. Interesting. And I'm just going to say it like it feels, and then you can take it wherever you need to. It does not appear to me when I go and look at the medulla, that inner core of the kidneys itself, that I have cancer.
You know what? That's exactly what I believe, too.
But what I can tell you is the kidneys have had to work really hard to detox your body of the cancer in the colon itself. So by going in and looking at the changes that you've made, you've taken the pressure not only off your digestive system, you've taken the pressure off the kidneys as well. So
great.
What I yeah, go ahead.
My body, it's twinging and tingling and doing all kinds of funny things. It's not hurting, but
right.
I honestly couldn't tell you what it's telling me.
Yeah. Well, I would like in my intuitiveness to say to you that it's telling you, woohoo, we're both right on. And I do believe that to some extent. But what I had mentioned also is that your body had been storing a lot of the buildup of toxin associated with what you're working with. Now, what has changed is your body is being able to flush itself and cleanse itself more effectively, whether we're looking at urine, waste, or through the pores of your skin. So all of these are really positive steps in the direction to being able to get your body in a place that when you make that decision, you make that decision as to what to do, you will know that you have done the things that are right for your body. So whatever that decision is, your body is working in tandem with you instead of that mind and body being at odds. That's really the greatest benefit for me touching you, is the fact that the mind no longer is in this angst and awfulizing, as it's called, to the point where you have no options. You have options now.
Great.
So absolutely. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you would be so kind to do that, is that when is appropriate, if you would send me an email, carol@reitberger.com, Reitberger, and let me know, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely, Carol. You know what? Your input has been unbelievable. It just picks me up and it confirms what I'm feeling. I've been really struggling to understand this because it's all new to me, but I've been doing my best, and yeah, you've really helped me along, so I really want to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you back at you. And one of the things I'll say is yellows, the biggest problem for yellows is that we can't understand, we can't connect the dots. And when we get a picture or a diagnosis, then we're going to naturally question that. But what that does is it helps us in the understanding. And the yellow personality in my history and working in personality and health, once they understand what's happening and they get a picture of that in their mind's eye, they literally have the ability to heal themselves. They really do.
I absolutely believe you.
Yeah. So, but our biggest dilemma is that we can't get enough clarity of the information to connect the dots, and that's the way our brain works. So,
that's why
but
I'm
thank you.
You.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sweetie. I'd appreciate that email and let me know what's going on. And I will actually send a lot of energy because, you know, I think it always helps, as I'll be there with you tomorrow.
Great. Thank you very much.
You are most welcome. Well, let's jump in and take a quick commercial break. Please, all of my callers, stay on the line. I'm going to be right back to talk more about vertigo, a little bit more about a medical intuitive's perception of it, and then what you can do as alternative therapies to help you in being able to manage and eliminate vertigo. Please stay tuned.
Is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is vertigo. It's a suggestion from a listener in New Hampshire. If you have a suggestion for me about a show topic, please go to my website, www.reitberger.com, and submit it. And then I'd also like to invite you, I mentioned in the first segment, but I'm going to say it again, I actually do monthly Your Health teleclasses, so a lot of the suggestions that maybe come through for the radio, I will then transfer them over to my Your Health teleclasses. These are actually 60-minute teleclasses. They're on a specific illness that people are interested in. I do this on a monthly basis. It is free. My next one is on January 26, 2012. I'm going to be offering this free teleclass. It happens at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the topic for January is herpes virus, which is a common culprit that's really responsible for a lot of the things that occur in the body that we really, maybe even doctors, can't figure out exactly what's going on. But it's a common culprit for things like Epstein-Barr, that's tied to chronic fatigue, also tied to fibromyalgia, lupus, genital herpes, Alzheimer's disease. We know that there's a direct connection because of the herpes virus is entering into the nasal cavities that then can migrate to the brain itself. That's one of the connections with Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, Bell's palsy, cancer, and even coronary heart disease can be a part of the herpes virus syndrome. So as I'm looking at this in the 60-minute teleclass, I'm going to be talking about how stress management, lifestyle changes, dietary changes, emotional release work can really all heal herpes. The thing with herpes is when I was writing the email to go out on it, it's really almost like a sci-fi movie. Herpes itself is not a living organism. So as a result, unlike bacteria, it can't sustain itself. It's got to go find a home. That home is a host. That host happens to be a cell. And the herpes virus literally goes into the cell and changes the DNA of the cell and the way that it acts. And it imprints, the herpes imprints its own DNA reproductive process to the point where it reproduces with the right environment, the acidity in the body, the stress, and so forth. It reproduces itself so quickly that the cell itself becomes so burdened with all these little mini viruses that it can't sustain itself. But before it dies, it literally burst explodes, and then it infects the cells around it. And then that is really the lifestyle of the herpes. So a lot of the illnesses that look like, sound like, but nobody can truly diagnose, there may be a connection between the herpes virus. I'm also going to be sharing the hidden meaning behind how herpes looks energetically in the energy body, because I've learned that it's really important that we get a holistic picture of what's going on, what chakras are involved, and then also how it really psychologically looks at from the nature of herpes, from our thoughts and our emotions. So that's what I do as a medical intuitive, is I try to offer a holistic perspective, and then I also offer a myriad of different holistic alternative choices that people can use in order to create the perfect environment in the body, so then herpes no longer can sustain itself, meaning that it does have to remain hidden. That's one of the things with herpes, and especially the Epstein-Barr, which is a aspect of the herpes virus. That's one of the few viruses that once we get it, it basically hides and stays within the body, but it can stay in an inactive state, meaning that it doesn't reproduce itself to the point. And that's really when it comes to managing herpes virus, genital herpes as well. We really have to see it as just not allowing it to have the opportunity to be able to thrive and survive, and it just lies there dormant. So again, the teleclass is free, and then what I do at the end of the teleclass is the same thing that I'm doing as my radio show. I stay on the line and I answer as many questions as I can within about 20 and 30 minutes after the show itself. So it gives us a chance to really me to share information, hopefully for you to learn more information about whatever illness I'm talking about, and gives us a chance to answer questions. It is free. Please share it with your friends. Again, the date is January 26, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you can register online at Ritberger, RITBERGER.com. I also do an annual channeling that happens in the first month of January, or the first month of January of the year. And if you'd like to receive that channeling, I do need to ask you to please go in and become a part of my database. You can actually enter your information, name and email address is all that I ask for, and it will put you in the database. And then as soon as that channeling is available, then you will receive the link in order to be able to go there and to view what 2012, the year of abundance, is all about. So here are some of the things that you can do to heal, to deal with vertigo, both in being able to manage it and being able to actually eliminate it. To ease the nausea that's associated with vertigo is try ginger. One of the things that you can do is just take some ginger and put it in a cup of tea, put it in a little bit of water, and then what that does is the ginger can really help you. If you have fresh ginger, just slice it off, put it again in your water, put it in your tea, and what it can do is it can just penetrate and change the way that healing of that water is and can work with you. You can also use it in food, but ginger is very good for nausea, as is acupressure. There's actually a place on the inside of your wrist in the center, and it's about a finger width below the wrist crease. And if you put slight pressure on that area and hold it for 5 minutes, it will actually restabilize the inner ear and restabilize the cranial nerves and the activities of them, and it can help with managing dizziness. Supplements such as ginkgo biloba, CQ10, also will help improve the blood supply to the brain. And then if there is the case of a vitamin B deficiency, which tends to be a common connection between vertigo, what you want to do is you want to boost your vitamin Ds and especially vitamin B12. Craniosacral therapy is very, very effective in working with vertigo, whether it's the benign positional or the other forms of vertigo or Meniere's disease. What you'll want to do is craniosacral actually works with the cranial nerve number 10, the vagus nerve, and that nerve is what causes the nausea associated with the vertigo itself, the nausea associated with vertigo. You heard me get a little bit distracted, and one of the things that I did is in that distraction is to say to you that one of the things that you can also do to be able to manage the dizziness if you're in the spell is to keep your eyes open. There's a natural tendency for us to close our eyes when we get into that place. So if you suffer from vertigo and you start to feel an episode coming on you, then what you do is you just get yourself in a comfortable position and you keep your eyes open. Focus on something. As long as your eyes are open and the physical senses of sight is able to focus and stabilize on something, it can quickly quell the dizziness associated with vertigo. Also, chiropractic adjustments are very effective in working with it. And then also, you might want to really go in and look at your pillow. When it comes to benign positional vertigo associated with sleeping, what you'll want to do is pay attention to the position of your heads and how you toss and turn. In fact, when you wake up, if you do have a tendency for vertigo, or benign positional vertigo, is when you wake up, whether it's in the middle of the night, just pay attention to where your head is. Is it elevated? Is it too low? Is your hand, arm underneath your pillow? All of those things are things that you can change. And then when you get into a place, especially when you're having vertigo to the point where laying down is not advantageous, it just seems to exasperate the situation, then what you can do is just sit up and get yourself stabilized before you go to bed. So those are some of the things that you can do to be able to help. They're simple things, but they're things that are very, very effective overall, consistently working with vertigo itself. I'd like to jump in right now and take some more calls. Let's take Amy from Florida. Hi, Amy. How can I help you, sweetie?
Hi. Thank you very much for answering my call.
Well, you're welcome. A pleasure to talk to you.
Well, I'm not sure where to start with my health concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them, sorry, I'm a little out of breath.
That's okay.
Is digestion and adrenal, thyroid gland, and the past have been told to be low. And also, I currently have a shoulder pain. That,
right.
And upper arm muscles that really, really hurt me.
Yeah. So let's go in, because your body just said to me, Carol, you need to help her create a triangle. We've got too many things that we just can't connect the dots. So the area, I'm going to start the triangle on the right side of your body where your liver is. And we're going to draw a straight line to the left side of the body where your spleen is. Where that line crosses over has to do with stomach. It also has to do with adrenals. So you can start to see that we have liver, adrenals, stomach, digestion, and then also immune system. And then we take that triangle from the left side, draw a line up to your thyroid. Now what we have is we have thyroid metabolism imbalances that are occurring, and then we draw that line from the thyroid to the liver. Now, the purpose of doing that for you, sweetie, is to tell you that there are three areas in your body as you're looking at restabilizing your body and bringing it back to good health. Those are the three areas for you to focus on. The wonderfulness of energy and the way the body works is if you want to work on the liver, then it will help the immune system. If it helps the immune system, it's going to help the digestion because of the liver, and it's going to help the adrenals because it's going to stop that fear or that fight or flight associated with it. That's going to get you out of that stress, and that's going to take the pressure off your thyroid. So in this particular process, the first thing that kind of jumps up at me is we need to look at your liver. And what that means to me is that a lot of the energy imbalances that you have in your body and physical imbalances is that we need to go in and do a little bit of liver cleansing. And when doing that, I wanted to have you talk to someone because it feels like you're kind of new to this in some ways, very advanced other ways spiritually, but in this trying to connect the dots in the body. So what you might want to do is find a, excuse me, a naturopath or maybe a holistic integrative medicine doctor, not because I really have anything wrong, but because we're just trying to restore balance. And if we could go in and look at a mild liver cleanse, also look at increasing the greens in your diet, whether it was be spirulina or even chlorella. I'm not myself personally, I in my own body, it doesn't seem to work with chlorella. So I'm not really anti, but for me, spirulina works better. It tends to have a lot more absorption. And so that's something to look at. You'll want to increase your greens from the standpoint of spinach, of kale, if you're going to do lettuce, the darker the green. And the reason for that is the liver loves green. And what it does is that the liver is also an integral part of the production of red blood cell counts. And what that's going to do is increase the red blood cell count while cleansing the liver, feeding it the way it needs, and it's going to give you some energy. It's also going to take... but go ahead.
Iron.
Say again, sweetie.
Low in iron or...
You are. Okay. You are. But where you are is you don't feel to me that it's important for you to take iron because your body at this point in time doesn't feel like it'll absorb the iron. If you find at any point in time, you really, to me, clinically, sweetie, don't feel like you have anemia. You just have a lot of the precursor symptoms associated with it. But I really can't tell you because I can't find it, is that the anemia that you're feeling is tied specifically to the liver. Your thyroid is low as well. And when the thyroid is low, then we don't metabolize as quickly the protein that we need for the brain. We don't oxidate. There's not enough oxidation of the glucose, so we're not getting the full benefit of the glucose that we're eating. So that means that the energy part of the cells that basically works with glucose to produce energy isn't doing it. So we have this dynamic that's going on. So if you worked with the liver, what it's going to do is give more red blood cell count. It's going to increase that. It'll take some of the pressure off the spleen that's trying to modify and manage the white blood cell count. That will take away some of the stress, and it'll allow you to cope more effectively with some of these emotional decisions that you've made, that you've really done great work. I want to go there, Amy, because you just kind of, your body let me in. Honey, you have done such tremendous letting go work in the last 3 months. I really want to give you a whole bunch of gold stars around that. There's some things that are still lingering. The emotion that I pick up is guilt. Whenever guilt comes in, take a deep breath, step back out of it. Ask yourself, whose reasons are you doing this for? That's going to take pressure off of your body, off of the liver, off of the immune system, and it's going to help you speak your truth, which is tied to thyroid. The low thyroid that I'm picking up, you're not off the scale. Nothing needs to be done as far as a medication standpoint, but it is something to really take a wait-and-see attitude about. When was the last time you had a thyroid test done, sweetie?
Actually, recently, and it did show high, which means low, but the free T3 and the free T4 were normal. So that's
right.
Why I couldn't figure out.
Right, so that's why it's confused. So in that particular case, what that says is that your thyroid's functioning. It's probably in the range on the lower side. You know, if it falls within a range, a doctor's perception is it's good. And that's true. It is. It's functioning. But the fact that part of it was elevated is telling you that your immune system, because the thyroid is sluggish, not working optimally, the immune system is creating the elevation that's causing the potential for there to become a thyroid problem, particularly Hashimoto's. You don't have it. It's something that if we can work with the liver, we can continue the letting go and feeling really good about yourself because of what you've done, speaking those boundaries and setting them, which is an important part of it, feeding the body the what it needs, the greens, the reds, the orange, the yellows, fruits and vegetables, being more of a vegetable-based diet for a short period of time. It'll alkalize your body. And then you're going to find that the muscle tension that you have is basically lactic acid due to the stress buildup and the fact that your body is just trying to figure out what to do with itself. The best thing for the muscle shoulder part is that you could go in. Some simple stretching would certainly help you. That would be very effective. And then the other thing that you can do is you could consider, do you do yoga?
I do a lot of different, almost yoga type, but not exactly.
Okay, well, as long as you stretch, this is the main thing, because that keeps that lactic acid and all of those toxins that your body's trying to do what it's supposed to, gets it in check. Go ahead, sweet.
It's mostly my right shoulder. I mean, there's some ways I can't even move it.
Right.
I mean, and then when I stretch it, especially when I stretch it, when it really hurts.
Right. So what you want to do is you want to have movements. You just don't want to compound the issue. You could look at craniosacral. You could look at non-force chiropractic. A chiropractor that works with you in this particular case to begin with works with the central nervous system, takes some of the pressure off of it. You could ultimately be very comfortable working with a traditional chiropractor that basically is going to reset the vertebrae in the way that they manipulate the spine. Your spine isn't such that it's not going to do anything with it, meaning that I would be inclined to say, oh, don't do that part of it. So you can work with it. Acupressure, you could look at acupuncture. All of those things are going to help.
Wow, great. Can you tell me if I have a food allergy or intolerance?
You actually have three of them, honey.
Which ones are they?
The first thing is that you need to be off of gluten.
Okay.
That's going to be the first thing that's going to help take out a lot of the sluggishness in the liver itself. I don't know if that's going to be forever, but right now that's the first thing that you should look at. The second thing is if you get off the gluten, then you're going to get off some of the grain sensitivities that you have. The next thing is that whatever you put in your mouth has to be as close to being pure as possible. You do need meat. You do need protein. But what you want to do is you want to do things that are not heavily laden with antibodies or fed in a kind of a gorging state where there's too much fat in what you're eating. The other thing that I'm picking up is, are you doing supplements? You've got a sensitivity to a supplement.
Right now I'm doing a kidney supplement because I had a kidney, or I had a bladder infection, the Himalayan. And then I'm taking calcium magnesium, but it's egg membrane.
Okay.
And kelp I took this morning.
Okay.
And
is there one more?
Evening primrose oil.
Okay, that one, revisit it. Do some muscle testing. You don't feel like you need that one right now. That one's kind of throwing you off balance right at the moment as I'm touching you. I'm not, again, I always have to be careful because I'm not saying don't take it, because I can't do that. I'm not a doctor. But what I'm saying is I do get sensitivity to that. I've got gluten, processing fat, really looking at the meats that you're eating. You just don't seem to, there's a sensitivity there. And then also I've got this supplement that is creating a hypersensitivity as well.
Okay, so I'm okay with dairy, but no wheat?
That's correct. You want no wheat, no rye, no barley, and you want no oats right now.
Oh.
Oats you might be able to get back on, but right now I would say no.
So no grains, actually. Oh, wonderful to know that.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how long it'll last, but it feels to me that if you went on a gluten-free diet for a period of time, you're going to find that your body is going to start feeling better, and you're not going to feel heavy or have the aches and pains that you're experiencing.
Oh, my goodness. And is rice okay?
Brown rice?
Yeah.
You want complex carbohydrates, and rice you can. Spelt you want to stay away from. For some reason, I don't know, that just came through. But for brown rice, you want to do brown rice because of the way it'll metabolize in the body. Also, the fiber is something that'll help the intestines. So. Well, thanks, sweetie pie. Thanks. You're really very open. And again, gold stars to you. Good, good emotional release work.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much, Carol.
You are most welcome. Let's jump in and put in one more. Hi, Joellen from Chicago. How are you, sweetie?
Oh, hi. best. I love you so much. You know that.
I do, and you know, back at ya.
Well, thanks. You know, it has to relate to the first gentleman that was talking.
Yes.
Some of the stuff that he was saying. And one of the things that I was curious about is, just in general, what do you think about colonics? Or is alkalizing your water intake? And I take a baking powder and apple cider vinegar type of elixir in the morning for alkalizing. Do you think colonics is a good idea? Or I've read that it might also be tricky to actually, in some cases, you might get infections because of it. Well,
yeah, and again, I'm gonna have to kind of be on the fence on both sides of that, because it really is, as I found as a medical intuitive, it's really of an individualized things. One of the things that I consistently find with colonics is if anybody chooses to do colonics, they have to, I encourage them to do colonics at a minimal length of time and to be really working closely with someone. I have found that a lot of the colonic remedies that are bought over the counter, even at a very good health food store, it's really a value to talk to people. The reason that I find that I tend to encourage people to work with someone other than to just go get the colonic aspect of it is colonics tends to rob the body of a lot of the natural minerals and that it needs in order to sustain its well-being while it's in that phase of flushing things out. And if someone has vitamin B deficiency, if someone has a predisposition for a magnesium deficiency, if they have a potassium or zinc deficiency that they're aware of, maybe their immune system doesn't heal as quickly, help them heal as quickly. Those are all things that I really believe in colonics has to be taken into consideration before we just go and start to do something. The value of colonics is it goes in and it literally cleans.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that, again, knowing your body and working with someone, that it can also change the chemistry of the colon itself to where it can cause it to lose a lot of the mucus that is a natural, healthy lubricant part of it. So, again, I really think that it has to be an individualized thing. And something, if you don't, you know, if people don't want to go and work with someone on it and you're wanting to, you know, your body's telling you this is what you need to do, then I would literally go in and stand in front of a counter of colonic different remedies and I'd put it in my hand and I would walk around with it. I mean, people might think you're strange, but I'm going to tell you, if it doesn't work for you, your body is that pendulum, that barometer it is going to tell you. If you feel drained, don't do it. If you feel okay where you were, kind of that midsection, then go and pick up another one. If you come in and it feels like it's going to be right for you, then I would go and pick up another one and be sure by validating it through something else. The body's exquisite that way. So
when you say pick it up, you're talking about at the health food stores?
I am. I'm just saying pick up that box and walk around with it. Don't put it in your basket. Walk around with it. Circle a few aisles. I know, again, people are going to think, what the heck is that person doing? But your body, especially your body, sweetie, you don't have to wait 24 hours to figure out what's going on. If you put something in your body, within 10 minutes, your body's going to go, oops, or it's going to go, woohoo, this is good. So very, very sensitive, so that can help you. One of the things that the alkalizing your body has a lot of value. What you might want to consider doing, because you do tend to run acidic, what you might want to do is you might want to go in and actually alternate. Instead of doing both, you might want to try baking soda, and then you might want to try the apple cider vinegar. And then what you might want to do is then you might want to try both again. Use that also the same way. So those are some things that I can help you with and share with you. And sorry, I just got the sign. I don't know where this hour goes. I always have so much fun and everything. But, sweetie, my time is up, and I need to say adieu.
Well, thank you, and I will listen to your teleconference this upcoming month.
Well, good. Well, thank you, and thanks for your emails. I really do appreciate your questions and a lot of your input. And that's another thing I'll say to all of you listeners, and Joellen certainly created that opportunity for me. One of the things is when I do pick a topic based on suggestions, such as this herpes virus, I also invite all of you to send me questions that you have, maybe that you're experiencing or someone is experiencing. So what is going to happen is that when you send that to me, that puts me into sometimes a different direction for my research, because I do spend a lot of time researching the topic that I'm going to be talking about so I can really offer a comprehensive perspective. So again, if you suffer from herpes, go to my website, submit, go to the contact page, submit it, and then what I'll do is I'll add it into my research. I want to thank you all for joining me. This hour does seem to go by so quickly. It's always fun to share time with you. If you want to hear this show again, please go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Go to my radio show archives. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Carol Ritberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ritberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.